Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Late Show with Brandy Weatherman.
Up this morning, looking for my shoes. Look behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
To talk to, and we're going to have a lot of fun tonight.
By the way, I would like to, and I'm sure that Tom and William will agree with me, to say thank you to everybody, because we're rebuilding the show. We had to go on a hiatus, you know, due to, I don't want to talk about the circumstances, but everybody that has helped us out to rebuild the show, we're back to number one. Really excited about that. Give you guys applause.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Golf clap. Yay.
I don't want... We need a fab squad here. All right, so we're back on the charts. We're back at number one. And I know we're going to hit number one with this one. Marjorie is going to be... awesome. I guarantee all of you this. And there's going to be, in fact, we got callers calling in right now. Please hold on. We're going to get to you. Nick, we got to make a small announcement to, you know, our sponsors. Nick?
Yes.
What's going on with Black Betchy Bucks, baby?
Yeah, a lot is going on. Finally, Black Bedsheet Books. Last year, we were really on a roll, and then just things happened, just like Francie was talking about with her show, too, because we're, well, you know, we're together.
And when things happen,
they happen to the both of us. But I'm on a roll again. Black Bedsheet Books is pumping out titles, and we're also getting ready for the biggest Halloween party ever. Here at Black Bedsheet Studios. Usually we get like 900 trick-or-treaters, and we're opening up the backyard. We're having guest authors sign their books for free, like Fred Weehe has already signed up. So that's going to be really cool. And we've done that before, and it was huge. It's great. It was spectacular. So this is going to be better than ever. Past couple of weeks, we've been putting out books, namely, just last week, we have Whistle Stop by David Gresky, who did Harlow for us a couple of years back. And he's, well, all the authors that I have are excellent. Actually, that's in my opinion. You guys got to read the books for yourself and develop your own. We also came out this weekend with Jason Gaylert's City of Madness collection. And that's fantastic. And I just put it up for sale at the Black Bedsheet Books website, blackbedsheetbooks.com, for $8.98 for the paperback. And it's like $1.98 for all the ebook forms. So you go down there, it sounds like a used car salesman. But I believe in my authors, though. We're pumping out new books. We're coming out with, we got this stuff that you got to check out. And on the horizon, very soon, we're coming out with books by, like, Carlson Buckingham is coming out. And she has something in common with tonight's show. She's also one of the women authors in our Women Authors Scary Collection that both I and Raina Young started and I published. She started, I published, and tonight's guest is actually in it. Screaming the Night, and we're going to talk about that later, but you guys get City of Madness and Whistle Stop. Check those things out. And Carson Buckingham, like I said, is on the horizon with her first official novel with Black Bedsheet Books. And then Terry Horns and I both have something together that's coming out. And also Fred Weehe has something new. Chuck Chapman, who was last week's guest with Family Man, he has something new coming out in September. We've got a lot of cool stuff, so blackbedsheetbooks.com, and onwards and upwards, everyone.
Cool. That's the way to do it, though.
Awesome.
Yeah. Bigger and better.
Mm-hmm. Everything is back. Everything is back. And by the way, big guest announcement. Looks like we're going to get Jonathan Mayberry.
Hey, all right. Cool. Woohoo!
I got to bring you on now. Marjorie, what do you think of my cheer team? I mean, this is just awesome. First of all, I want to say thank you to Francine Friends for having me on and for you guys being number one. And, oh, my God, you just, like, announced the guests that are coming on. I am just, as a horror fan, I'm just so excited to hear all the guests you have lined up.
We're glad to have you.
We are totally looking forward to doing this show with you. And when you agreed to do this show, we kind of talked about having Raina Young on the show because you really like Raina Young. And Nick was talking about that you were in Raina's Young book. She really wanted to be here tonight, but she had other obligations. And I didn't want to tell you that because I was so afraid that you would say, I'm not doing the show, because you told me how much you love and respect Raina Young, and for her to be on the show with you tonight would be amazing, right? Oh, my God, she's amazing. She is just, you know, Miss Misery, for those who don't know her, but she is just an author, a director. She is just so multi-talented. It is just amazing everything she does. Well, she did send me this message to send to you. I don't know. Raina, go ahead and take it away.
Hi. Surprise.
Hi.
I'm here. I decided to call
Raina,
in anyway.
We got Raina. Oh, my God. That's so awesome. Yeah.
I was
surprise!
Silent the whole time, trying not to laugh. Oh, I thought I was gonna blow up for a minute and start laughing when you were talking, Francie, because I was like, I'm here, I'm lying. Francie's lying.
No, Raina did know exactly who you are, and I told her the words you said about her, and she was like, I wouldn't miss it for the world. And she doesn't know when her child is going to cry. That's not a false statement. But if she would like to talk to you a little bit about women in horror, and she would like to talk to you about women in horror because, you know, like we were talking about, I think we got two professionals here. Take it away.
Oh, yeah.
Why, thank
ladies
you,
first.
Yeah. Thank you.
First off, I wanted to come on here and say hi to Marjorie because I haven't really met her in person yet, but phone meeting is fun. And I wanted to, of course, ask some questions because guess what? I got the chance to watch Bottle Monster during the week, and it was awesome. And, you know, we just need more female filmmakers making movies, I think. And I'm so glad Marjorie made one. And I can't – honestly, Marjorie, I want to ask, do you have anything you're working on next for another feature?
Oh, that's a great question. And I'm so excited you're here, first of all. I'm so excited. For the next feature, I have a couple projects in development. I had hoped to produce something last year, to make something with my producing partner, Paul Overacker. We had hoped to shoot last year, but with COVID and the constant, do a short last year, which is more family-oriented. So, there was no horror in that beyond, like, the horror of, war. it was a very talented writer, and it hasn't been released publicly yet, so I'll let him talk about that maybe some other future time. But,
we did have
a horror project we were going to do last year. We have about five in our slate, and so we're really hoping to get one done before the end of the year.
Go
ahead, Francie.
It is a male-dominated, and I've had a lot of male comedians on my show, And it kind of goes back to that. All the male comedians say, no, female comedians are not funny. No, women do not belong in horror. Why do you think that separation is when it comes down to everything? Why do you think it's a men and women separation?
You know, I think, I don't know, because it's a hard question, because I think maybe, you know, when I was younger, I was really into horror, but if you're young, a young woman into horror, then it's like, you're kind of like different, or they think like, oh, why do you like these like slasher movies? Or so you're maybe culturally all of a sudden kind of pushed out of horror. So if you just start to embrace the things that you love, like horror, you start to find this amazing community of women in horror. And I really hope it grows. I hope, like, you know, the next generations really feel inspired by people making horror and by your show and by Raina and all these amazing female directors that I know who love horror.
Yeah, and why can't we love horror? It's like we go out in public and women are not allowed to fart. Okay, I cannot believe what you... I honestly cannot believe that just came out of my mouth.
Yeah, we can.
It could be that I worked with a bunch of men in a, you know, a shop, and I said, why can't women fart? And they said, no, women, that does not come out of women. Well, why not?
From what men say, it's not ladylike, right?
Yeah.
It's not very ladylike. Yeah.
You can always go with the alternate solution and be like, well, you know, if women don't fart, let's put it to the test. Drop me off at the local burrito bar. Give me about 20 minutes, and let's go ahead and hit the highway.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Okay.
I will get back to the original question, because one of the things that I found, like, when you're writing horror or if you watch horror, especially, you know, older horror films, is there's always this highly sexualized version of women. And if you're a woman, sometimes it's really hard to write women as one-dimensional. And I think the horror that we maybe have grown up with have always created these kind of one-dimensional women. And when you're a woman, you're writing these multi-dimensional characters. So I think maybe it's just we're trying to shift genres. We're trying to shift the industry. And it's hard to shift an entire industry to be like, hey, you know, not just have a final girl. Like, the final girl could be the serial killer. That, you know, there's a lot of interesting things, I think, that's been happening in horror in the past 5-10 years.
Mm-hmm. Marjorie, I don't know if I find that true about women in horror, though, because as a writer, most of my sales at conventions and stuff, I've been to women. So I think more women are in, more and more into it. So I think that's a good thing, because I think it gives, you know, it gives you a wider array of, you know, like your stuff, what you make films and stuff and everything. And it just, when I sold to mostly women that like it, I think it kicks the door open and opens it up and makes it much more open, inclusive, and better.
Absolutely.
Well,
I mean, my experience,
sure,
is women buy stuff. Pardon?
What happened?
Go ahead, Marjorie.
Oh, I think the door has been opening. It's opening wider, and I think this is the fun things that are happening. The fun things that are happening is people are like, yeah, I can be, you know, a soccer mom and love horror. I can be, you know, anybody and love horror. And then you start to see these amazing characters that you hadn't seen in the past in the movies. And I think this is a wonderful thing we're seeing. We're seeing inclusions of, like, disabilities, we're seeing inclusions of all sorts of different people that you know, we see every day. And so now, like, TV's reflecting the world, which I think is an amazing thing.
Nice.
I totally agree with that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just think it's better to have as many voices in the horror genre as possible. It just opens it up because, I mean, it's like, as a writer, somebody wants to ask me, why aren't you jealous of J.K. Rowling and what she's done? I go, no, it opens up a whole market, a whole area nobody thought of before. I mean, so the same would apply to horror. You get different, you know, takes on different things. So you can always learn from it and like, oh, wow, that's cool, you know, a great idea, you know, and kind of evolve from that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you this. Marjorie, Miss Misery, come on, be honest. How many times did you slaughter an ex-boyfriend in your novels or your scripts? Come on, be honest.
Okay, we'll be honest. I think every time you create a character, it's always based on somebody you know or has characteristics of somebody you know. So that's
mm-hmm.
all
yeah.
I'm going to say. And I'll let the rest of it.
It's true, yes. Which I shouldn't, but...
Oh, I kept the name of my ex-boyfriend in my book, Werewolf. Oh, I slaughtered the hell out of
you.
Oh, yeah.
What was you?
I kept his first name, and if he ever reads it, he's going to be like, oh, crap, that was me. Oh, yeah. I was very graphic. That was probably the only graphic moment I had. Nick, beware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you women exceed now, I got women on the show. I'm usually surrounded by men, and I'm loving this. So when you agree, I mean,
Sora,
come on.
Sora's guys, too, Francie.
Oh, yeah, there are guys here. No, we won't slaughter you. We promise.
Well, I mean, in the worst case scenario, Francie, you know, with your ex-boyfriend and such, I think you should have approached
him. I slaughtered the hell out of him. And
well,
I don't
see,
regret it.
But that's where it makes the perfect Valentine's gift. You'd be like, hi, I know we haven't spoken in a couple of years and stuff. I just want to let you know that you have an epic death in my upcoming title. By the way, happy Valentine's.
Yeah, that's right. I killed him off. I killed him off in chapter one. He was dead. Bye.
What the hell did he do to you?
Oh, he was just a jerk. Nick,
I had a couple people in my life I killed off a few times too. Terrible.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun.
Tell us about it, Tom. Now we feel like psychiatrists. Tell us about it, Tom.
Well, I had a ex friend that robbed a bank, and I told Francie Liam this, and I'd known him since kindergarten through 12th grade, and after we graduated, he decided that. He said two mutual friends went in and made an illegal withdrawal from a bank, and he didn't want his parents to find out the police records. Lo and behold, it was $94,000 in stolen money that he sent to my parents' house with my permission because he said it was police records. So trust me, most of I pattern characters at this guy, and he usually dies horribly or is mutilated or driven insane or something. The next time I write about him, he's going to get hit by a Mack truck and get splattered all over the place. So that's, you know, this happened back in 1979. So I'll let you know, I was like 18 then. So let's put it this way. I really feel good when I do it. It's like I killed him, but I get away with it. I don't get to go to jail. You know. It's fun.
It's the pleasure of writing.
Just the like is fun.
Yeah.
Let's face it. When you do it literally or filmmaking, you kill somebody that's patterned after somebody you hate. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Oh yeah, I can't agree more.
Is writing horror, and we got a horror publisher who's been in horror a long time. I would say that writing horror novels is actually therapy.
Yep.
Would everybody agree?
Yeah, it's very therapeutic.
Oh, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Marjorie? Like writing a script. Same thing. It's very therapeutic. To if you have a rough day, look, when I have a rough day and I need to watch some teenagers get killed or write about teenagers being killed, it just works. It just works for me, okay?
Yeah.
I just love it. My husband would come home from work and be like, how was your day? I'd be like, I just need to relax with some hot chocolate and watch some damn teenagers get murdered, and I'll be fine.
Kitty drivers.
What is that famous meme that's going around now? Now I agree with Jason. Those teenagers need to be killed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Jason's our age now, so he's old. He's probably my age or older now. So of course.
Well, I mean, you know.
You know we're old. We're old. We're all old here. Let's face it. We're about to get retirement checks, and we're going to be doing our walkers soon, and we're going to say, "Yeah, I agree with Jason now."
Wow.
Kill him.
No longer get off my lawn. You're pissing me off.
Yeah.
Get off my campground, you dirty teens.
Well, I mean, hey, I look at it like this. I mean, so that, like a good scotch, we're getting better with age.
Yeah. Okay. That works. I'll take that.
I don't know. Our sense of humor. I'm kind of looking at it. You know those Geico commercials? I'm trying to make people not seem like their parents.
Yep.
How many times are you like your parents now? And you're like, don't you go out there. I'm not a mom. But, Raina, you're a mom. How many times have you said, oh, crap, that sounds like my mom?
You know, I usually say, oh, shit. And then my kid corrects me not to swear.
That's what my mom said, too. Fuck you, cocksuckers!
So,
oh
ladies.
Oh, God, your mom said that?
Raina and Marjorie. This goes to Marjorie and Raina. How did you get your start? What got you peaked to get
there
interested in horror? What
Marjorie,
was the catalyst?
Oh, you know, I have this, I guess, odder story than most. But in 2017, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. So I had about a golf ball size brain tumor in my head. So at that point, you do a kind of life shift. So then I directed my first short, and my first short wasn't horror, but I was like, you know, what do I really love? What am I really passionate about? And I just kept going back to, you know, making a horror film, like horror movies, like how they're evolving. So that was kind of, I've loved horror my whole life, but if I was going to say when I got into it, it would have only been a few years ago.
Wow.
Were you a fan before?
Still, I mean.
Always a fan. Lifelong fan. Just never took the plunge.
Actually, Marjorie, you're like a hero to anybody that's listening to this right now to hear that you were a cancer survivor with, I mean, that's very serious cancer that you had in your brain. I mean, You're like the hero of a horror movie right now.
Well,
yeah.
I was it was not cancerous, so it was just a large growing tumor. So it was very fortunate that it was
not still
cancerous.
Bad enough.
So
yeah,
so
still bad enough. That's still that's especially a brain tumor. Yeah. That's still
very
risky.
Serious.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
But what was interesting was like, hey, can I film the surgery? Because I was like actually wanting to see the surgery. It's like, because how many times can you see somebody literally cut your skull open and see your own brain?
What?
And they're like, we've never had anybody ask us that. So I was like, that would be kind of cool. They wouldn't allow
they
me to film it.
That.
No, no. No. I would have used that footage for something.
Okay. She is a horror fan, like, experience. She's master class now.
Can't go wrong there, that's for sure.
Well, actually, I would definitely like to say congratulations that you endured that, and wow.
Honestly,
thank you for telling us that, because I have even, I respected you way up here. Now I'm way up here.
Well, thank you.
For myself, I haven't had a chance to see Bottle Monster yet. I'll be the first to admit I'm buried under about 30 pages of notes for revisions for one of my projects, but. I saw the trailer for it, and because I was very curious, because all Francie was saying about it was Willie Ames is in it, and I'm like, Charles in Charge is in a horror movie?
Well, he was actually Buddy in Charles in Charge.
Yeah, but that was the only thing I could think of for Willie Ames, though, was just always watching him in Charles in Charge. So I was like, this ought to be interesting. right off the bat, though, the trailer looks phenomenal. I love the fact that you opened up with the kid asking, are we there yet? Because I think that, or also the phrase, we're out of coffee. Those are the two perfect preludes for any horror story right there.
And there is a scene when her coffee machine does not work.
Or also the phrase, we're out of coffee. Those are the two perfect
Yeah.
Well, no, even better then. So, but I'm going to be watching it later on this week. So I promise as soon as I watch it, I'm going to be I'll give you the feedback. But it looks great already.
Well, thanks. I wanted to do kind of a homage to the old creature features, which, you know, they don't really do many. I mean, they do, like, they create new creatures, but our creature is actually a real living creature. We had an arachnid handler. And what's funny or interesting is about 2 weeks ago, there was an article saying on CNN, and it says, acid shooting land lobsters attack Texas. And this is actually the creature we used, which was a whip scorpion, which is kind of a cross between a cross between a spider and a scorpion. So we actually used live scorpions.
Well, that must have been really interesting then.
Yeah.
And it was great. Sorry. So you used live scorpions.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. You know, I when I was in kindergarten, I lived in Arizona, and still to this day, we had boys chases the girls, and when you tag them, we had to go into these big truck tires, and we had to kneel there if you got caught. I had a scorpion in my tire.
Oh,
it
God.
Stung my leg. I still have the scar today. I'm looking at my scar today. Thankfully, mine was not poisonous. But as soon as I got stung, man, my teacher, like, whipped me up and took me to the hospital. That's Wow. I have to commend you on that.
Yeah, we had a wonderful arachnid handler, Diana Terranova, who if you watch any of, like, American Horror Story or anything at all that has had insects that has been shot in L.A., she is probably Bren, the arachnid handler, and she is absolutely incredible because they look really, really scary. But once you get to know the scorpions, because there were four different actors, scorpion actors, they were great. They were crawling all over us. They were crawling on the kids. She is just so amazing and put everybody at ease around the creatures.
Raina, I heard you had the heebie-jeebies with that, too.
I kind of went, oh, when she was talking about it.
Oh, my God.
Scorpions, though. Marjorie, what made you think of using a scorpion?
Actually, you know, I'm going to credit Maureen Whalen, because Mo Whalen is somebody I've known for a long time. And she had actually posted this scary creature on Facebook, and it was like a kind of distant relative of the whipped scorpion. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's the most terrifying creature I've ever seen. Because if you start to Google them, they're, like, pretty creepy looking. So, what if that attacked you? What would you do? And then that spurred the idea.
Oh, nice.
Run like hell, especially with that tail, and it, you know it's going to poke you, and it's going to hurt.
Oh, my God.
That's what he called the Orchid Man, and you say, listen, how much is this going to cost me?
Absolutely.
you know,
$3,000.
There's only one. It's up in the attic.
I think they have eight legs like a spider too, don't they?
I'm sorry, I missed the question.
I think scorpions have eight legs like a spider, and then they got that.
Yeah,
I got to take a photo of my scar. It's whiter than my legs really are. I don't mess around with those things. And when I see them sold in a pet store, I'm like, who does that? You do. Marjorie, you're like, more scorpions, please. Hey, come on. We need more scorpions. That's not enough. But more scorpions. Who does that?
Yeah, but it's just like it's the $10 million question quoted from Twilight Zone, the movie. All you got to do is ask it. It's, hey, do you want to see something really scary?
Oh, my gosh! No! You know!
So Marjorie, do you have a director or a filmmaker that's your biggest influence? Who would that be if you do? And Raina, who's your writing influence?
I think Sam Raimi would be my biggest influence because, you know, it's like if you've ever, like the original, like Evil Dead, because if you ever read the backstory of that movie, it was such a labor of love. And to create this, like, you know, 20, 30-year franchise when people are like, you know, I think Bruce Campbell's parents mortgaged their house to help finish the film. So if you're thinking of people who just put so much faith and love into a movie, I think that's just what filmmakers do. You know, beg, borrow, and steal to get your film not steal, but you beg, borrow, try to put together all the pieces, and it's hard.
Yeah, don't tell people
so
you steal money. You don't want to give away your secrets.
But you have to admit though, at the end, it's the weight off his shoulders, and it's just It's when you get to step back and watch it take a life on itself is where the true reward part comes into play.
Yeah, because the big Hollywood movies, it has the money budget, but the heart of it all is it comes from the low budget. I'm not saying you're low budget, but I'm saying your heart and soul and your blood is in that.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I think for authors, it's got to be Robert Bloch, obviously. Psycho, the book, it's like so terrifying.
Yeah,
and then
that's a good
Alfred
one.
Hitchcock, I think, made one of the most interesting movies ever made, because when you're watching it, you obviously know Norman Bates is off, but there's a moment when he's, you know, trying to hide the car and it's sinking, and then it just stops. The car starts. Stop sinking. But the whole audience all of a sudden is like, sink, sink, sink. All of a sudden you're like, want the car to sink. You want the bad guy to get away with it, and you don't even know why. And that's why Alfred Hitchcock was just so brilliant in that. I mean, just there's so many nuances, so many amazing things he did in all of his films.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who would have thought using chocolate syrup, for the blood down the drain like that?
I mean, that was so innovative, and like one of those things is like, you know, you use what you have, and then there was a great, I think it was a documentary, I forget what it was called, but that was talking about how that whole scene was shot, and you know. How the clips just made, like how he kind of did this like flashes of different things, and they never showed Janet Leigh naked, but the way he cut the film, you actually visually think like, oh my God, I've seen a naked woman, where you've only seen bits and pieces of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God forbid the super controversy, because you see the toilet getting flushed.
Yeah.
Forget Janet Leigh naked. That water is spinning in circles.
Yeah.
Which you realize between, like, you know, and you feel for some of these directors, you know, because once you start, like, doing big films or studio films, all of a sudden you realize, like, there are these limitations where if you're very indie and very rough and tumble, you're like, oh, I can do anything. I can kill off my lead character. I can, decapitate somebody with a toilet seat. You're just like, you all of a sudden have this, like, amazing freedom when you're an indie.
Yeah.
Boy, I want to be in Marjorie's next movie.
Yeah.
There we go. Get ready. There's going to be a follow-up. Now comes
sure
the next...
there's a toilet seat cover on top of the toilet seat before they...
Yeah. Now, Rita, get ready. You might be able to come into the sequel for Bottle of Monster, but the next question is, are you afraid of spiders?
You know,
Scorpion's been done. We've got to go to the next one.
I'm weird with spiders. Like, if I see a spider in the house, I'd be all like, what are you doing in my home? And then I'd stomp on it and kill it. I like to say that to bugs, because it's like, I like to keep a clean house. So when I see a bug, I'm like, oh, hell no.
Reina, honestly, did you ever think to yourself that spider thought that you were its roommate and he was paying half of the rent?
People think that. People are like, oh, no, you shouldn't touch them. It's bad luck. I'm like, no, I don't need to get bit. I'm good. I have a friend who actually thinks it's bad luck, so he has spiders in his house, and he's like, it's cool, whatever. Let him live there.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, Nick killed another black widow. We had three this week, and
yes,
there was one that was right on the screen, and I'm like,
Uh-huh. Kill those suckers.
I went outside and he was spraying the bug spray, and he's like Black Widow, and I see her, I was like, oh my skin, it stood up. my hair would stand up straight. Nothing to do with these things.
Consider yourself lucky, because down here in my part of Florida, besides
Florida.
That, we have banana spiders. And they look like the face hugger from an alien. I mean, the full size, almost as big as a hand.
They're non-poisonous,
but it's funny because, you can tell, if you live down here long enough, we always joke about it. You can tell when it's tourist season because just listen for the screams coming from the forest.
Hello. Marjorie, that's your next movie.
There you go.
Talk of the banana spiders.
He's like, come on, we want to go home. 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot, cut. Yeah, Beetlejuice has nothing on those spiders.
No,
Marjorie's
definitely not.
Marjorie's going to kill some teenagers with some banana spiders.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We're talking about spiders. I'm serious. I got such bad arachnophobia, even with bugs. When I worked at my job and my boss, we worked outside, and he put, like, this dragonfly on my keyboard, and I was with the customer, I totally freaked out. I was like, what's going on here? And my boss, and he was so quiet. He was like 7 feet tall, and he put a bug on the keyboard. I'm like, what? What's going on? Yeah, arachnophobia has got nothing on me.
Marjorie, did you have anyone on set who freaked out over you using the live bugs? Like, did anyone trip out? Like, oh, I don't want to go near them. I don't want to, you know?
Well, I think, like, honestly, I was the one who's like, I don't want to go anywhere near them.
You don't want them to get lost, right?
And the kids got a little like, ah! And then by the end, and again, when you have, like, somebody who's just so good as Anna, it's like everybody was super comfortable, and she also is so wonderful because she just also talks about the animals being comfortable too. So she had four different scorpions that we used, and she made sure the actors were comfortable and the animals were comfortable too, which is it's amazing to work with somebody like that because she was just so good.
Well, that's good. I mean, I imagine it probably takes considerable patience because, just the idea of having a live scorpion sitting on you is just freaky enough to begin with.
They kind of feel like Velcro. Their legs feel like Velcro growing on your skin, so it's kind of
okay.
Do you have any bugs?
I have not shaved my legs in 3 days. Okay.
Too much information, Francie.
TMI.
You need 5 minutes to go do that and then come back?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have nightmares tonight of bugs and scorpions and...
Well, that's what we're here for, to give you nightmares.
Yeah, that's our job. It's entertainers.
Let me be the first to say thank you.
Anytime.
I'll tell you what.
What? I didn't do anything.
Well, I'm
not going to bring any fake spiders over your house next time and hide them under the pillow.
My gosh, you might be here for Halloween. Oh, my gosh, by the way, Raina, you're going to be in Sacramento. Are you going to be here for Halloween?
Roseville. I don't know yet. I'm not sure because I have a 3-year-old who will probably want to go trick-or-treating and do some stuff. So I'm not sure. I'll have to get back to you guys on that.
You know,
Raina, if you decide to, Spirit of Halloween sells remote-controlled spiders. wireless.
Oh,
no.
I know. My son has one. You just clip it on. It looks so real and just roams around the house. It's great.
What the hell
exactly.
is wrong with you people?
Oh, you know what? I should just anonymously mail you fake spiders from now on.
No! No! Did every fan
yeah,
want to be mailing you now? No,
yeah.
you're naughty. You're,
no,
Nick, help me out here.
I get to see that one now. Francie, it's for you. You got a package. Ah!
Nick, you are nowhere. Who does that?
No, I'm here. I always help. I got some spiders for you right now if you want to see them.
I gotta tell you guys this. The little squirrels outside of our last apartment, they really trusted me, and I was able to hand feed them nuts. Like,
I would
hold out. Nick would put a plastic spider in the can of nuts just to hear me say, "Motherfucker, what's wrong with you? Who does this?" And he just said, like, and all the neighbors is like, this spider. And I'm like, who does this?
I scare her every day, too. Tell him that I scare you every day.
Sure. He's 6 foot
three.
Yeah,
I like hide behind corners.
He's 6 foot three. I mean, you should see him, but you don't.
I kind of creep up behind her and wait, and just be completely silent and wait for her to turn around, or you know.
Genius.
He's right there.
Well, Francie, think of it like this. It could be worse, okay? Trust me. A couple years ago, a friend of mine came out to join me at the coffee shop. And obviously, being summer and such, we had water bug season. And she had never seen one of those before. And one landed right next to her. And it was a full-grown one, so it was like about the size between your thumb and your forefinger. And she's looking at it, and she goes, "Oh, my God, what the hell is that?" I'm staying calm about it. I'm like, that's one of the mutated cockroaches for the nuclear power plant up over on the other side of the state. Yeah, there was some type of a radiation leak a couple months ago. I thought they got them all, but obviously I see they didn't. Anyways, I think
that?
You may... Just whatever you do, don't make any sudden movement. And I had her going for about 15 minutes, and it got to a point where she started climbing on top of the table, and then, she actually called the cops and was like, "There's a mutated cockroach in the parking lot, and it's sitting here, and it's looking at me." No, I'm not on drugs.
Who does that? You know she's not going to say she's on drugs. Who does that?
Yeah.
Marjorie.
No.
Back me up on this one, Raina. Tell me, psycho. Come on.
We got this together.
Who does that?
I don't know.
Sounds like a typical Walmart shopper.
What that reminds me of, folks? That reminds me of that Barry Levinson film, The Bay. If you've ever seen it, it reminds me of something like that. Those little bugs in that.
Classic.
Big bugs.
Oh, I remember that movie.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah, but I mean that's a great film within itself. So
yeah,
can't go wrong with that.
Oh, by the way, since I'm talking and everything, hey Marjorie, and hey Raina, and everyone.
Hi.
Yeah,
wanted to say hi.
I wanted you to talk about women on horror. What makes you say, when you say, okay, a woman's going to write a horror book or a horror story, what gets you captivated, Nick?
Well, not their gender, their story. And then I find out everything about them afterwards. So it's like story is always number one and everything. But it's always very interesting, all the unique personalities, be it male or female, that I come across and sign or not sign. But, you know, when I sign with somebody, I get to know them a lot better. And it just works out from there. But I don't really, it's not really my approach to actually have, it's fantastic to have an anthology of nothing but female authors, as well as female directors, as well as just female anything. They have to, there has to be more of them. And so I totally agree with that. It's what?
I was going to say congratulations, Raina. When Nick said that he was going to publish that book, he was really proud to publish that book.
Oh, yeah, wow. I think I'm all for that, plus everything. And it was just fantastic. And all the talent, just such amazing talent, everything. And, just, you know, so, but really, I kind of look at it this way, too. In an alternate universe, in the United States, say, in the 70s and 80s, 60s, 70s and 80s horror films and stuff, they were very intellectual and women were dominant or prominent. And then all of a sudden they got bored with that. So nowadays, instead, we have like half naked or fully naked bimbos running through forests and tripping over things because we were bored with the intellectuals. I think that because there's so many of those movies that have like the stereotypical bimbo that runs and trips and, you know, and stuff. I think that we're so tired of that now is the time, especially for more intellectual females to dominate the screen. There's always been, but it's always been few and far between. I think mostly too is because that's what audiences wanted. Male or female, that's what audiences wanted. But I think that we're naturally kind of growing out of that because there's more and more movies that are paying more attention to, like not just the female point of view, but yeah, everything. And Francie's giving me a thumbs up. Ruined my train of thought. Thank you, Francie. But you know, growing up and being a horror movie fan, I noticed in particular because I pay attention to credits and stuff, I go, oh, that's a woman. Oh, that's Mary Lambert. Oh, that's Penelope Spheeris. I tend to remember their names more because there's less. There needs to be more directors, and so that it could just. You know, it's just, it can't be so male dominated. It's not even just a point of view. There's a lot of male directors that that do movies well from a female point of view. But sometimes it kind of makes me think, why can't you have a female instead do that? Or, you know, I could go on. What do you guys think?
Well, you know, I've always wondered, have you had what the challenges are from trying to write from a different approach and a different perspective like that? You know, cause sometimes it's hard to kind of put into the mindset when it, you know, depending upon, you know, what the subject is for the project. So,
right,
yeah,
I think when it boils down to is Marjorie is so talented, it doesn't matter if she's male or female. If you do things with a passion, it comes from what's inside of you, not what's on the outside. And the inside, that's where the passion comes from. And you could generate great things that way just by doing that, just by emitting that. I sound like an astrologist or something, it doesn't really matter. What kind of a person you happen to be, what comes from within shows out through your art, is what I'm trying to say. And your personality and everything, that's you. get blended in with that. Then you develop, just like writers. And I've always said this too about writers. It's a process of finding your voice too, getting out what's naturally you from the inside and finding your voice and then being comfortable with your art and so much of an expert in it that it's easier and easier to get the job done.
Okay, Nick, we're about to go in. Please hold that thought. We are about to go into our after hours.
Yay.
Is everybody still with us?
Yay,
yep,
after hours.
Going into extra innings.
All right. So we're going to play our closing song. Marjorie, please do not hold this against us, but this is a great song.
Hello again. Hey, everyone's playing together right now. Look, there they are.
Whoa, stop. Luna, we can't play if you bite Floofa. We don't ever want to bite our friends.
Don't bite your friends. Don't bite your friends.
We don't bite our friends.
No way.
We don't pull their hair. Friends are our friends. So we treat them with care. So
don't bite your friends. Don't bite your friends.
We don't want to hurt. We don't want to bite. We don't want to fight.
No way.
'Cause that's not right.
No way.
So don't
bite your friends. Don't bite your friends. Don't bite your friends. Don't bite your friends.
Bite.
No.
Show with this, but the whole time, Marjorie, I'm thinking bottle monster.
Hey, maybe I'll make you
talk. Bottle monster. I can't wait
to
see it.
I don't know that song. Maybe. Kill a bunch of teenagers. So
well, I was saying there's a chorus bottle.
I agree. Just get the teenagers.
Okay. No, I want to talk more about this.
When that song was on, were we muted? Because I couldn't stop laughing.
No, we were not muted. All the laughter is going to be in the after party because in the after party now.
Say
what you want to now.
Yeah, there's when you loosen up your collar, pull out the happy hour drinks, kick back, put your shoes up on the desk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've got my happy hour Arrowhead water bottle ready.
Ah, uh-huh, there we
Everyone's
go.
Everyone's all silent, like, what the hell? Everyone's
William,
like,
I think you talked psychologically to me when you said put your feet on the desk.
Why, your feet are up
on
the desk? Well, let's go ahead and keep trying. Now, Francie, put your right hand in. Now put your right hand out.
I didn't do the hokey pokey. I always lost
okay.
The hokey pokey. I was not enough to do the hokey pokey. No.
Oh. Okay. Well, you can't blame a guy for trying.
Nope.
See, they always
is Marjorie
right
still
now.
There? Yeah, I'm still here.
Marina,
Marjorie,
they always
I didn't know you were in a, are you in LA?
Yeah, I'm in LA.
Okay, I don't know why I was talking to Mo the other day, and I said, "Where does Marjorie live? Does she live in Alabama, or what state is she in?" Mo was laughing. She's like, "She's in LA." I went, "Oh, I don't know why I thought you lived somewhere else."
Why Alabama? Well, I was born in Salem, Massachusetts, so that's my wicked background.
Well, there you go.
I don't know why I thought you lived in another. Oh, she's right in LA. I can go when I get to LA again, meet her. Great. Because I was like, I thought you were in another state. I'm like, that's my bad.
But hey, I mean, East Coast represent on that one, though.
Hey, come on, East Coast.
Ta-da. So, Marjorie, I hope that we haven't scared you off too much tonight.
Yeah.
This has been fun. This has been, like, a lot of great, great fun.
Good, good.
Good. Glad you enjoyed it. We enjoyed having you. What do you have in store
for
you? What are you planning in the future? Any
previews
of what's coming up?
We're definitely doing Bottle Monsters 2, so that's going to be the acid shooting land lobster, so that's going to happen.
Why not? Yeah.
Why not?
Now we're talking.
We're going to lean on into that.
Better go with,
and
something really scary like bot flies.
Ooh, yeah, or the huntsman spiders. Those are scary. In Australia.
Oh, bot flies, they lay their larvae, and their larvae grow in your skin.
Oh. Okay.
No.
Yeah, let's all the creatures. But I always think a creature's scarier if it actually exists in real life. So that's
oh, yeah.
One of those. You know, the timing on the invasion in Texas of scorpions couldn't have come at a better time.
Oh, I'll bet.
Probably, you know, but thing like this, at least when it comes to some of those, it's good. It's a good, refreshing kind of chill. Because I'll be the first to admit I'm of the age where I still remember the ultimate scary terror of frogs with Joan Collins, and I was like, what?
Oh man!
Wow.
Frogs.
Okay.
That's right. I forgot all about that one.
Yeah,
hey,
Bob,
Marjorie. Hey, Marjorie. Mm-hmm. Where can we watch Bottle Monster?
Oh, that is a great question. It is on Amazon, Redbox, Vudu, Google Play, iTunes, Dish for Canadian folks, Rogers. And then Vubiquity has it as one of their indie features, and Vubiquity goes to a lot of the on-demand channels throughout the cable, different cable providers. So it's a lot of places, which is kind of fun.
Nice.
Awesome. Is it on I'm like a collector. I like DVDs and Blu-rays. Is it available or will be on DVD, one of those?
We have been in talks with a printer to a CD publisher, DVD publisher. So when we do that, we will definitely let you know.
Sweet.
Okay. Fantastic.
Cool.
That sounds good.
Wish you much more success and everything and all that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
it's been fun.
I was,
Our actors were great. Everybody was great. Our crew was amazing. And I would just thank everybody. They were really great.
And have you guys or anybody seen the poster for Bottle Monster. It's like riddled with film festival, like little award things all over it. It's like how many film festivals was it shown at?
You know, it did really well. It did really well internationally too. And we actually only created that poster because our distributor was like, "Hey, can you create us an awards poster?" And we're like, "Okay, how many do you want us to put on?" And they're like, "Oh, just put on all of them." And then we gave it to them, and they're like, "Oh, maybe we should have only set a few." So that's why it looks, because we did have this like phenomenal international audience, and I think because it's a very story driven, it's very character driven. It's some jump scares, but not like, you know, the typical jump scare. So we've had a lot of international audience, and but our distributor asked us to do that. So it was about 21 awards, I think we got.
Wow. Yeah, I was really impressed to reading about that and stuff, how around the block that it's gotten, and it hasn't even been released yet. That's really something. That right there is an accomplishment.
Yeah, without a
doubt.
Yeah,
we got invited to Italy to come and show it. So I'm like, hey, let's all go to Italy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's cool.
We're number one in, again. We're
really?
Number one. Thank
yeah.
you, Marjorie.
Woo! Hey, you guys
we're
are
number
one. You all get roses.
I'm looking at it right now. We're number one.
Wow. Cool.
A live episode. We're number one.
Hey, you guys, I might have mentioned this towards the end of last week's show, but I've got a few books to publish first. But I'm going to try to find some time to put together some of older Francine Friends shows and try to get some something seriously going on YouTube or platforms like that with Francine Friends.
Yeah, we found out that I had a video that's like 22,000 views.
What?
No,
it's a video that she put together that has Robert Downey Jr. Mouthing the words to Elton John's "I Want Love," and she has that up and thought that they took it down, but they didn't, and she's got like thousands of views on that. So we're trying to see how much what are the requirements to monetize.
Marjorie, come on, Robert Downey Jr. Sexy, not sexy, yeah. Hot, not hot. See, this is why I love to have females here, because William and Tom and Nick will be like, not sexy, come on.
I'll take your word for it. How's that?
All right.
Yeah.
Hot or
well,
not hot,
that female,
you know he's hot. Come on.
Oh yeah, definitely hot. Well, we'll go
hot.
On the hot scale.
He's hot.
Well, yeah, of course.
Good. Okay, here's another one that I think is hot. Are you ready?
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Me.
Sure.
Bill Murray.
When he was in his prime.
I actually met him, and he's quite charming. I think he's, like, he's the guy you'd want to hang around with. Is he hot? I think he's internally hot.
You know? Ah, cool. There you go.
There you go.
Personality. There it is. Okay, Michael Keaton.
Yeah, I would have to say yeah.
Oh, yeah. Come on, those eyes and those eyebrows, when he looks at you and he's going to curl that lip and he's going to be like, what? And you're going to be like, yeah, I'm yours.
He's Batman anyways.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's Batman. William Ferrell.
Who?
Will Ferrell.
William Ferrell.
Oh, Will Ferrell. Nah, I'm cool.
What?
That's bad to say. Nah, I'm cool.
All this. Okay. Okay, one.
Let's see.
Dewey Cox.
Who? Wait, who?
You're talking about the guy who played Dewey Cox. What's his name? That stars in a lot of Will Ferrell movies.
John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly. Yeah, that's.
Jesus. No,
what's
it's not
your next project?
I meant.
It's about Devil Jesus. What?
Yeah. No, I.
Is it a pop-up book?
A pop-up book?
Yeah.
Sure, why not? Cool. No, I'm one of those weirdos who works on two things at one time. So right now I'm in a cross between working on a book series right now that's like in the vein of Riverdale.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
And then, I'm actually getting ready to write my next kids monsters book. So it's kind of weird. I've got a teenager book I'm working on, and then I've got to go switch my brain to a children's book. So I've been doing that right now. I've been going back and forth a little bit on those. But Nick
well,
has a few
awesome.
Of my books that are going to come out. So,
well, definitely can't wait. You've always got some great stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Definitely.
It's,
no problem.
I try to do too much, and sometimes I feel like I don't do enough.
Oh, yeah, it happens to all of us. You know,
mm-hmm.
the trick
like
is to make sure.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay, the trick is just make sure to keep the coffee handy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Coffee.
It's like I was going to say, Marjorie, when you were shooting Bottle Monster, were you in the middle of Bottle Monster and you're like, oh man, I got a great idea to write another script, but I got to get this done first. Did you do that at all? Because sometimes I find myself doing that in the middle of making a movie. I get an idea for another film and I'm like, oh crap. Yeah, I got to start writing. Do you do that at all?
You do, because I think when you're around a lot of talent, because we had a lot of like talented actors like Willie Ames
mm-hmm.
and Kim Estes and Tammy Bard and Billy Prophet
yeah.
and all these like really talented actors, and you're around them, and then there's so much creativity, and I had
mm-hmm.
great producers like Paul Overacker and Tony Dillastone and all these like amazing like just creative talent. You can't help but go like, okay, as soon as I'm done with this, I've got that other idea, but you know,
right.
all of us have been in the film or written a book. As soon as you're done with your project, you're like, I'm going to sleep for 2 weeks because you're just like, no. but I did come up with another script idea while I was doing that I did write.
Nice, yeah. It never fears, right? It's like your brain doesn't shut off.
No,
you
it
know,
doesn't.
It's like, you just,
no, it doesn't.
It just keeps going.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Speaking of coffee, I should go get some. No.
Well, that's not entirely bad at times, though, either, you know. Just
yeah,
except when you're trying
true.
To sleep or something or rest or relax or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I'm
an insomniac,
though.
Yeah, but I mean, luckily, that's why you want to keep a digital recorder near the bed. You know, so you just hit,
yeah.
press
true.
The button,
that's
pitch
true.
It, then go back to bed.
That's true, yeah.
Hey, guys, you know what we should do? You know what we should do for next year? Get, like, another, like, maybe a sequel to A Scream in the Night or something, but another all-female anthology, horror anthology.
I was thinking the same thing. That'd be good. What did you do? Just read my mind? Should I wear a tinfoil hat now? You totally read my mind. I was thinking the same thing.
Well,
I was like, I should get together.
I think you guys should do it. What's stopping you?
Yeah. Oh, well, nothing.
Go for it.
No. Nothing, I guess.
There we go.
Yeah.
It's cool. I'll just add on another project.
Then I'll just say right now, shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like autographs.
Or a sequel to Read Us or Die. Read Us or Die. A sequel to that. Read Us or Die.
Well, yeah,
again.
Read Us or Die was our overall anthology. We haven't actually put out something like that in a long time since then, too. It's about time to do something like that. Just Black Bedsheet Books authors, combining forces in one book.
Read Us or Die Again. There's a title for you.
Yeah,
well,
Read Us or
Die
Again.
I like
that. Like that. Yeah.
That
yeah.
works.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be groovy, too. Yeah, it's about time, I think. Read Us or Die came out like 2012 or 2013.
Wow,
wow.
Long ago.
Wow.
Wow.
Who was that
yeah.
long ago? Yeah. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
The,
oh, awesome.
Read Us or Die Again, the 10-year reunion.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
There you go. Then we'd have to wait until 2013. So can't wait that long. I mean, 2013.
Yeah,
2023.
2013, going back in time.
Yeah, going back.
Well, you
got
it together in 20, then, so,
Cool. If we're going back in time, can you give me the Powerball numbers from,
I know, right?
I promise I'll split it.
I think Francie had to go potty really bad.
I'm here.
Where
Francie,
were you killing spiders?
Francie,
are you
yeah.
there?
Yeah. I'm here.
I gotta go. Unfortunately, my child needs me.
Oh, sorry.
Well, Raina,
yeah.
glad you made it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad I got to.
No, Raina, I'm really glad you made it.
I know.
It's been
yeah,
hard.
That was great.
It
was
I
great.
I'm so
really,
happy.
Really wanted to meet Marjorie in phone world.
Vocal I know.
World.
I got to meet in real world.
I know. We have to do that. We have to do that. Well, I had such a good time talking to you, all of you. It's been great. Can't wait to do it again.
Well, thank you.
We would love
here.
You.
Greetings mutual.
We would
thank
love
you
to
again.
Francie, I told Francie
yes.
that she would be a great, great guest. We got to get her on.
Yep.
Who? Marjorie? Yeah.
Marjorie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wait, you're talking to me?
Well,
oh,
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when we talked on Facebook, I said, how would you like to be on Francie's show?
I was so excited. I'm so excited. And congratulations for being over the pond, too.
I always like doing
UK
that.
Bookstores. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
It's been fun. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Okay, good night, Raina.
Right.
Have a good
night.
Thank you.
Good night. Bye, Marjorie.
Bye, Raina.
Lots of kisses, Alex. Bye.
Toodle.
All right, we're about to be cut off again.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, William, John, Nick, Francie. This has been so much fun. And to everybody out there who wants to get scared, go watch Bottle Monster.
Awesome. Well, that was amazing, Marjorie. Congratulations.
And if you all want something to read, check out A Scream in the Night. from Black Bedsheet Books.
Yes.
Marjorie's in it.
Cool.
I published it. Raina's in it. And a lot of people that have been on Francine Friends, actually, too. We got to get more of them. More.
Yes.
Hey, Marjorie, where would they find you?
You can find us on Amazon, Voodoo, Redbox, Dish, iTunes, Google. So if you Google Bottle Monster, there are a bunch of different platforms that you can watch us on.
Do you actually have a go-to website, like an official website or some kind of online presence yourself?
Yes. It's bottlemonsterfilm.com, and it was made by an amazing friend of mine, Jasmine Jones, so I just want to shout out. She's this brilliant web designer, but, she's so much more. She's, this savant of genius in marketing and everything, so a big shout out to her.
Groovy.
And
excellent.
What's really cool is that you're in control of your Facebook and everything. And if you talk to her and you message her, you're going to talk to her.
Yep, you
cool.
Talk to me. You talk to one of our producers. Yep. People ask me questions. I was asked, is this available in Australia? Is it available here? Is it, so it's really fun, and, people make, really super fun suggestions, and I've had a great time just hearing people's thoughts, and, it's been a lot of fun.
Good,
yeah,
good.
And I would have to agree with that, because I'm looking at the ratings and everything with the show, and Australia, Russia, countries I didn't even know of is listening to us now. That's kind of cool.
It really is. It makes you realize how small the world really is, and that horror is just one of those genres that travels.
Yeah. I mean, no matter where you go, there's always a horror story somewhere within the world. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Marge, we would love to get you back on the show. Is that going to be a possibility?
Sure. I'd love to come back sometime.
All right.
Sweet.
Groovy.
Groovy.
We'll bring popcorn next time.
Yes.
All right, let's send it off properly before the young lady in Britain says your show ends now.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.
Nick, this is 5 years of...
From the publishers of Michael Myers, Forrest J. Ackerman, and Vincent Price. Original Blood Pump. Heart in your throat. From the number one publisher of its kind. Black Bat Shit!
Sorry. Let's do the bloopers.
I gotta ask you this, because I told Nick, I was like, I'm gonna do this. Okay. Do you know why you're here? Do you?
Do I know why I'm here on this radio show? Well, I do know that I'm doing several of these kind of things. I'm out promoting my new album, Untamed the Songs. But if you have another notion as to why I'm on the show, I'd like to hear that.
I'm chopping screwed, and I'm loving it.
Oh.
Okay. I am totally in my place. Okay.
That's
timing was great.
That's
who did that?
That's watching All in the Family.
Was that the toilet?
I think so. Was that? I wonder if Nick
was
in the phone.
Was that Link?
I think that was Nick.
I don't think...
No, I'm not.
No, they blamed it on you, John Link, with the toilet. What's up with that?
No, I'm not at the toilet. I'm sitting in a chair.
We got David Madison here, which you remember last time.
Yep. Remember, David. David and I have shared history from Fright Night with Stephen Jeffries.
Yes. How are you doing, Craig, this lovely evening?
I'm sorry. I was trying to light a cigarette, and I miscued, didn't I?
Oh, dear God.
And I learned a new word this week. What is it? Queef?
Queef?
Yeah. Well, you
thought
South Park knows. And if it talks about, like, a woman's vagina, you scratch it, and it's a queef.
She's played that show, like, about four times on on-demand.
Okay, well, we're not going to get it. I got to play it again now that we're talking about it. Did you guys see that episode where the women were queefing? I never knew that even existed.
She's fascinated with that.
I'm going to queef now. Okay.
Do it.
I can't. I don't know how to queef. But apparently the women on South Park can queef on cue.
Does John Link put that in?
Oh, they're called...
Huh? Never send a man for a woman's job.
Yeah, exactly. Now tell us about the book.
All right. It has nothing to do with queefing.
Oh,
but...
it's nothing to do with queefing? So there's no scratches?
Aww.
Aww.
It is called less queefing.
What? Blood queefing.
You don't want the SD. You got a new book. Queefing in the field. or the children queefing. The children of the queefing.
Hey guys, in honor of the Grammys, I have a rock and roll legend, a rock and roll Hall of Famer here with me. Guy had a record come out last Tuesday. He sold over 100 million records worldwide. You want me to see if I can get him on the line?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Hey, congrats to whomever that is.
Diamond, you.
Yeah. Oh. So, Melody, are you going to be
playing
John Philbin when you're out there?
Hold on.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think he'd appreciate me discussing his personal life either, but hopefully...
I mean, he lives in my sister's neighborhood. I have yet to visit my sister, but they actually are practically neighbors.
Oh, very cool. Wait, I think we got a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer coming in.
Okay, he's willing to sing for us, but I don't think he wants to talk. Is that cool with you guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it going on?
He wants us to do the chorus. I think we'll know his voice. I'm gonna hand him the phone. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
My life like this, no tomorrow. All I've got, I have still. At least I don't need to beg or borrow. Yes, I'm living at a place that kills.
Woo! Running with the devil.
Wow.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah!
Hey, you tell Beverly Roth there's another Hoosier on the phone here. From his hometown.
We got her right, guys. Good night, everybody.
All right. For singing. Who was that?
It was David Lee Roth.
What? David Lee Roth? What? Really?
Yes.
Get
Diamond
Dave
on the phone.
You missed out on something. David Lee Roth just sang live on our show.
Get Diamond Dave on the phone.
Yeah,
another...
he's David Madison right now. Holy crap! Let me see who he is. I'll recognize the face.
You know who he is.
Dan Halen! Oh, holy fuckers! That was...
Well, good night, everybody. We still on? Good night.
Wow. This hurts.
What hurts? Oh.
My doctor was asking, oh, you gained weight. Fluid. Drinking, honey.
Well, yeah.
I'll start it tomorrow. Look, I only drank that in this.
It's going to be day 18 for me.
I know. I went 25 days. It's because I said if I drink, I die. And my doctor said, yeah, you're right. If you drink, you're going to die. I know. And it sucks. It sucks. How did I do tonight?
Oh, you did great.
Oh, good.
Except like the last, during the
really?
Well, no, the after parties, there is a lot of silence. And people would say something, laugh about it.
I was trying to keep it going. That's why I said, stop it.
What? But it was really good.
Go make an announcement. I got a heartburn. Go make an announcement.
What's the announcement?
I got a heartburn.
Announcement. I get a heartburn.